Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love, and we're going to pull Sydney Franklin into our development reporter because there's a lot of development things to talk about in the city of Cincinnati. And when I said we're going to have fun, I really meant it. Not that development is not fun, Sydney.
So I think it is.
Me too.
And intense.
But today's guest is the founder of Beer Kiss Brewery in Ludlow, Paul Miller, although he does not like that title. He likes to be called Chief Goof Officer, and you guys, we're going to find out why that is. I don't know Paul, but I have heard that he's super fun. His background is a clown, and we say Beer Kiss, if you kind of look at the spelling of it, it is a circus-themed brewery, and it's a super fun place to go on the weekends, and they have acts there and everything.
Wow.
And so he really brings the energy, so I'm excited to have him on today.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
But first, it's development news all the time, and I love that for our city. We're getting another hotel.
Yes. Well, it's no secret that Cincinnati's kind of popping off after the summer of Taylor Swift and all the Bengals success over the last 2 years, sort of, not necessarily last
year. We're going to call it a success, Sydney.
Okay, great.
You cannot win the Super Bowl every year, but you can still be successful.
It's so true, but Cincinnati is kind of the place to visit. Mid-sized market, there's so much to do, especially in this season, spring and summer. So, of course, downtown needs more hotels. So, one development group out of Cincinnati is building a new Home 2 Suites, which is an extended stay hotel in one of downtown's vacant buildings on Ray Street. And why this is cool is because the property is called the Chong Building, and it used to be an old retailer, but it's had many, many lives before it was this like quirky retailer selling knickknacks and weird urban clothing.
Yes, I remember.
It was also,
you'd walk by it and you'd be like, do I need a fur coat and a blue wig? Maybe I do. Maybe I do.
I think there's a place for that. Uh-huh. Absolutely. But it was also the last grocer downtown. So it was a Kroger at one point. It's also been like a department store. It was an official Furrier as well back in the day. And the building itself is from the 19th century. So it's got really cool like facade design, very ornate, very gorgeous. So,
well, 3CDC's doing it, right? They're kind of overseeing this project. And one of my favorite things is we didn't know how beautiful it was.
Nope.
Now, this isn't the newest news, but when they kind of took it over and we were writing about it, they started working on the project and they're like, hey, there's just an ugly facade over this old, beautiful, ornate building. And to watch it morph into what it's beauty once was has been super fun to watch. I have to walk by there to get to City Hall. So,
no, exactly. Yeah. 3CDC took over the property and like cleaned up, if you will, because, like you said, in the 1950s, a big brick veneer was covering the front.
That's why, Sydney? Why? Why?
Oh my gosh.
Why?
It's so mid century and it's so Cincinnati. Uh-huh. And of course, I guess the owners at the time were inspired by the nearby Terrace Plaza Hotel that has a big brick facade.
All right,
too.
This is, I could see that. All right.
Can you see
those two fitting together? Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, 3CDC did do the work to uncover the beautiful ornate facade. And then an interested party came to the table and said, I want to create 109 hotel rooms. It's a Hilton brand. So Home 2 Suites is part of Hilton. And they plan to open by the summer of 2027. So this will bring our hotel count up to the high teens downtown.
I know, that's amazing. And by then, I think we'll probably even see more hotels. But that's the kind of thing, we need these hotels. We write all the time, you write all the time about bringing this big convention center hotel here. That's only one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
That'll be used for conventions. But visitors have to have other places to stay too. And things like, you know, that they're trying to bring, you know, like the MLS All-Star Game. They're mm-hmm. trying to bring the NFL Draft. Like, you have to, when you're making pitches for those big things and the Tourism Bureau is doing all of that, you have to be like, we have places for people to stay. And that is super important. So the more hotels we have, the better.
There's also going to be commercial space at the bottom, which is kind of atypical for a hotel development. So it'll be mixed use. And hopefully the retailer will maybe outfit it with the owner will outfit it with restaurants, because that part of the west side of downtown like really needs more amenities for existing residents and then convention goers, whoever comes
right,
to town.
Right, so that's going
to
be good timing because the convention center, what is that? It's opening and starts in
2026.
So the people will start, like, we will need more.
And yeah.
By then, I think we'll probably also know what's happening with 435 Elm. We don't know yet. That site's being readied to kind of market as a development. So there's going to be a lot going on in this corridor in that time frame.
Yes. And just for our listeners, our offices are down here on the west side of downtown, right in front of Paycor Stadium. You might know this. So we want more amenities in this area so we can hang out and go out to lunch, get coffee. I'm looking forward to that.
So, all right, you guys. So that's some good news this morning. All right. Well, let's welcome on Paul Miller.
It is special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. We are here with Paul Miller, the chief goof officer at Bierkus and Circus Mojo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
So, Paul, you have this amazing backstory we are going to get into. The first thing I have to ask you is tell us about the name Bierkus.
Bierkus. It looks like Bierkus.
It does look like Bierkus. I had to like retrain my mind before this interview to make sure I didn't say Bierkus because it's spelled B-I-R-C-U-S, but it's Bierkus.
Bierkus as a policy. Our staff, we don't correct people. So Bierkus, it looks like that. Okay.
Okay.
But my friend, Matthias, he's from Belgium, from Ghent, Belgium, and he brews Bierkus. That's the Flemish pronunciation to support his circus. So I met him in Berlin. We were staying at the Anarchist Hostel. So if you ever make it to Berlin, don't go to the Hyatt, get it invitation only to the Anarchist Hostel. Okay. And, I was dressed nice, you know, I had my suit, I was flying, and I paid with a crisp $100 bill. And the anarchist at the Anarchist Hostel, you know, giant Liberty spikes, the guy had his mouth closed, but you could see his teeth, so he had, like, plugs in his cheeks. Get out of here, you effing American, you know, yelling in half German. He was not happy, but I picked up this chair, a giant chair, in the lobby of the Anarchist Hostel, and I balanced it on my chin. Just like this, ta-da.
All right, I now have to describe what just happened in our studio. This is a first. Paul just picked up a rather large office chair with a swivel. These things are heavy, and balanced it on his chin while he was speaking. Phil, join me in a round of applause.
Thank you. Stay in school, kid. So, but it was fun. It was fun because the anarchist was so like enamored with us then because I said, look, you could look like an anarchist or you could be an anarchist, you know? And it was fun because he called all the other management because it's just like a hostel or a hotel. I mean, there's a pecking order, even though it's an anarchist hostel. And I was doing that all week for them. And so this was at the NICE conference, the Network for International Circus Educators, okay, which is pretty weird. But I'm in the circus business. So when I met a guy who brewed beer to fund his circus, he said, you know, he hates the government. He brews beer instead of writing grants. I was like, man, the government, you know, I feel similarly.
You saw a business model coming together that fit with your personal ethos?
We had been selling beer in Ludlow at our theater. We were buying and selling other people's beer. So we had like a West 6 IPA. We had like a Rivertown. They had a Genicke, a Great Belgian. We had Christian Moorlines, Barbarossa. So we had limited beer options. And I wasn't really making a whole lot of money selling other people's beer. And when I met a guy who was, you know, brewing beer to support his circus, I said, man, that is such a cool idea. So that was 2010, 2011. And it took a long time to bring it to fruition, but here we are. So that's the origin story of Bierkus.
Of Bierkus in Ludlow at the historic Ludlow Theater.
Yeah, we when you get a building on the National Historic Registry, all of a sudden a lot of things are able to happen, which some folks don't want to have to happen, you know? But for instance, I had to put in an ADA accessible bathroom on the balcony, even though there's no elevator in my building. And the zoning authorities were quick to let me know that there's a 6-month appeals process, blah, blah. And I said, oh, that's just silly. Every chance I can get, I'm going to get on podcast and talk about how ridiculous it is that we have an ADA accessible bathroom, but no elevator because, you know, they like to think don't tread on me is the ethos, you know, and be small government. But really, it's just government stupidity getting in the way of business.
So you are a, I think, a poster child for getting government out of the way of business.
When I have to, I say there are many elected clowns, but there are very few professionals. And this is
so what a perfect segue. So Bierkus, most people know, is the only brewery in town where you can also go watch circus acts. You can learn about how to be a circus performer. This all goes back to your background, because though many people have it as a dream and threaten it, you actually did, quote unquote, air quote, run away and join the circus. Talk to us about that time in your life.
I was at CCM. I was studying theater and was not real happy with my status, et cetera. And the first year.
And you're a local kid, Cove Calf.
Yes.
Grad.
With the spirit that will not die.
Went to UC to go to CCM.
Yes. Was excited. I got accepted.
So you're sucked into the machine already.
Yes. You know, the machine for sure. It was. So the first time I threatened to go to clown college, I wasn't accepted because there were 3,000 people who applied and only 30 people get in. So they were sweating us out, which should happen. So the next 2 years later, I applied again and I was accepted to Ringling Brothers Clown College. And this is before Google. So I had to.
Where is Ringling Brothers Clown?
It was in Sarasota. It was in Sarasota. I went in 96. The last year was 97. So they stopped. They stopped the clown college, but it was amazing. You know, I was intimidated when I got there because I couldn't really juggle. I could halfway barely juggle. And there's a guy riding a 6-foot unicycle juggling 5 balls in the parking lot. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get. But I got the gig, you know, so I got to tour with Ringling. And it's neat. Lucy May, who's a media, local media superstar. She was
former Enquirer reporter, now host of Cincinnati Edition at WVXU.
She took pictures of us, of me, and my buddy Harry when Ringling Brothers was here in 1997. It was the floods. So the show got canceled and we ended up taking the circus to 5 area Red Cross shelters. And there's some neat, it's in the 1900s, but the Enquirer archives, there's some really cool pictures and articles about the circus going to the Red Cross shelter. And
you mean the 1990s?
Oh, yeah, the late 1900s. Yeah. No,
it just, you know how our listeners are. Wait a minute. Yes. The archives are full of photos showing the river flooding its banks. Now, pause there for a moment. So at this point, you are touring with Ringling Brothers, going all over the world.
All over the states in the circus train with Ringling, with just the train. Yep.
And you get the chance to come and perform for the home crowd and a generational flood happens and floods you out.
Yes.
Are you always that hard luck kind of guy?
Or spin it into whatever. For me, it was magical because I'd asked my girl to marry me. So I got to spend an extra week with my fiance because Renee was not going to be there. If I didn't ask her and dropped out and joined the circus, it was, and that's why I got my degree. She says she's not marrying a college dropout. So I got to spend an extra week here. And I was on the news with Bernard Shaw because it was just such a weird juxtaposition of clowns out there directing the National Guard, pulling into, you know, the Red Cross shelters in, you know, Maysville, Kentucky and other places. So it was a weird happenstance. But for me, using circus in non-traditional settings, it was really powerful there because these people, they lost everything. Do you want to laugh or do you want to cry? And that is kind of how I've tried to use the circus as a tool of, you know, what would you rather do? Laugh or cry? You know, it's pretty easy.
So instead of the Big Ten or at the time, the arena, you went to different Red Cross facilities and did your act.
It was weird because my buddy Harry, he was from Cincinnati. We came up early to do a bunch of media. So we had our costumes. They couldn't unload the train anywhere. So basically it was like 2 Frisbee dogs, a guy from Nigeria, Samson Power, who rode a unicycle and, you know, balanced giant objects on his face. So that's kind of a Samson Power move, doing the chair trick. So, you know, it was fun. So that was a neat way to see what we could do with what we had.
Yeah. So when you went to clown college, is it like any other institution of higher learning? Did you have to specialize in some type of discipline? Like what type of clown were you?
Well, there's like you had to do makeup every day. So I was an Auguste clown. So there was like character, they were white face clowns or Auguste. So you put makeup on, you got to try all these different makeups. You had dance class every day. You had circus history every day. But when it was done, my number was 22. And the owner of the circus, Kenneth Feld, he's a billionaire. He, you know, he sits there. I was just like a cow, you know, 20. He bought number 22. So like we were, that was, you know, it was a, so
like a
it
livestock
was,
show.
That's what it was. But I did like the Chinese stacking bicycle, and I was in a couple set aside acts that were,
okay.
I was hoping I'd get the job. And, you know, I made $237 a week. You know, it was about $14 a show. So mm-hmm. it was a real apprenticeship.
Yeah.
But it was life altering.
So you got out of the circus. You finished your degree in theater.
I did. And then moved to New York City. While I was on the road, my wife was looking for work. There was no work in publishing in Cincinnati at the time. So we moved to Manhattan. And I'd bounce a chair on my chin at the auditions. Like, this is my shtick, you know? So I was on As the World Turns, All My Children, One Life to Live. I was on all the soap operas that were shot in Manhattan. I love calling the dean at CCM, who was not too pleased that I dropped that. Turn on Channel 5, sir. I've got three lines today.
Very wink, good.
Wink. So it was a fun... And that was neat because the shows were on the soap network forever. So I used to get like a 38-cent residual check because I was in the union. So,
that's,
you know.
That's big money.
Big money.
Yeah.
Keep big money.
Is there still a soap network? Like, could our viewers like go I back and I, if they oh, were curious?
I was on One Life to Live. I had like five shows with under three lines. I was an extra. But I had lines. But
I mean, but, you know. You probably have an IMDb profile,
no,
right?
No, I do not. I'm trying.
What?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm working, I'm working
right.
on that.
Okay. So eventually, now we fast forward to now, you have this vision of doing your craft here in Greater Cincinnati, and as a means to an end, rather than, you know, rely on maybe more traditional ways to fund a theater experience, you decide... I'm going to also start a brewery to as a means to an end with really no experience running a brewery, right?
No, I still have never made beer. I know a lot more about beer after making it for 7 years. I know how to – anyway, I don't know a whole lot about beer. I've hired incredible brewers. Sean, our brewer, to found us. JD, our transitional pandemic brewer. Tony, our brewer. We have incredible brewers, and the deal I make with them is – make great beer. I don't know anything about yeast strains or hop choice. Just make great beer. Cause once we get you to Ludlow, we want you to keep coming back. Okay.
Right.
You know? So, but I did it really because in the circus, the guy's selling a $9 box of popcorn. The popcorn costs 2 cents. The box costs 1 cent. You know, nobody's got that margin. You know, Enquirer Media, Tesla, Zuckerberg, nobody's selling something for $9. It costs 3 to 5 cents. So for me, beer was, you know, working our way towards the concessions side of the circus.
Gotcha.
So that's where it, but it's been lots of fits and starts. You know, a lot of our distributors didn't survive the pandemic. Then we lobbied hard in Kentucky for self-distribution. So that's why on the Ohio side of the river, there are maybe 50 breweries within an hour's drive. In Kentucky, there's 5 breweries is because we had to sell through a third party distributor for many, 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 many years. Whereas Rheingeist, Madtree, they could sell directly to Kroger's or directly to the Reds or the Bengals. So, you know, you learn a lot of politics. And
is that changed now? Can you go direct to the...
Yes, now we can.
Okay.
As of like 2 years, as of 3 years ago, we can go direct.
All right. Was that a game changer for you?
I had a great time. I got my kids out of school when we went to lobby for self-distribution, you know, like they got to see politics. They call it politics, like dad, politics.
Gotcha.
So they had a good time with that. But it allows us to sell directly now, which is great. You know, the margins are much better, but the infrastructure, you got to have trucks and salespeople and things like that. So
right.
it's not easy, but the ability, the permission to do it is great. Execution-wise, it's a work in progress.
So talk through a little bit with us about you see the space, the Ludlow Theater.
Yeah.
It's not exactly move-in ready.
No. No, this is 2009. This is like the end of the world, like GM. If you had initials, you were getting bailed out. PNC, AIG, like everybody was getting a bailout. And I walked every street in Ludlow. We had just moved here from Chicago, and I was looking for a space. And this building was zoned entertainment, had 20-foot ceilings. Prior to us buying, it was a factory, so they had leveled the floors because all old movie theaters are poured concrete, like on a slope.
Okay.
You know, and had 20-foot ceilings. So level floors, 20-foot ceilings, three-phase power was the most important because you need three-phase to run a brewery and run equipment. So we bought this building, and it was full of lead-based paint and full of mold. But I looked at that as value. Like, I can fix those things.
Right.
You know, and so we bought the building and started making a circus in Ludlow. Next door is a three-bedroom apartment where we call it the Circus Suites. So we started hosting artists from all over the world. And I tapped the German Peace Corps to come to Ludlow. And this was amazing. Like, the German Peace Corps, it's called IJGD. It's like the International J is like Jugend. I don't know. It's the longest word I think I've ever typed out. But you know, we had four elements that needed improvement. Our school, we were poverty, home rental ratio, and it was controversial, but what else is new? That's the job of the clown, but we identified it as a food desert. So we used to have the illustrious Yacht Club. We had a seasonal restaurant, but in 2010, we had no permanent restaurant. We had no grocery store. So I qualified our zip code as a federal food desert. And this irritated many people. But the German Peace Corps came and they inspired young people. And I'm proud to say Ludlow from 2010 to 2020 was the hottest real estate market in the whole state of Kentucky. And I got a big award in Frankfurt, Germany, instead of Frankfort, Kentucky, because the German Peace Corps, they've never deployed somewhere and left. So they're still in Burkina Faso. They got pulled out of Moldova, but they send people like around the world to change things positively.
Okay.
And we can thank some German circus friends for significant economic impact in Ludlow, Kentucky.
That is amazing. And so you're honored in Germany. You're kind of like Jerry Lewis, where you're like, he's big in France. He was big in France, but unappreciated in his own country. You're like a rock star in Germany and can pull all these strings. And
well, we've also gotten, you know, two kids, Jesse Suttles and Tate West, are two young people who took a first flight on their airplane with Circus Mojo to tour to Germany.
Okay.
They spent their junior year at a circus high school. So they have a vocational circus school in Germany. And they're now working professionally in the circus. So, you know, their family, for me, it's breaking generational poverty. Like, if you give a kid a passport and, first some skills, get some skills, get a passport, they don't look back, you know? I mean, they come back on victory laps, come to the town. But, you know, it's really great to have a couple kids who are wildly successful in the circus who grow up.
Graduates of Circus Mojo.
Graduates of Circus Mojo.
So, if you've never been to Circus Mojo or Bierkus, what is that like? Like, what for the first timer, what would you recommend to experience what you offer?
For families, we have a 2 o'clock circus matinee every Saturday at 2. And what's fun is this weekend, it was World Circus Day. We had 75 people in there to see the circus. And if you're under 10, you've likely consumed about 4 hours a day off of a phone, and they've never been to live entertainment. And our space is, you know, a big giant empty old theater with a red circus carpet in the center. And we got these beautiful lights from the Madisonville Arts Center when they were in transition. So we scooped up a bunch of equipment to make a really great space. And we put heat detection in our building. So every show we have a big fire finale and it's like real fire, like the floor is concrete and kids are blown away. I've got a dog in the show. We got the fog machine. So it's a traditional circus, but the kids, you know, they've never watched a coyote get blown up. You know, like they haven't seen a little mouse beaten up a cat over and over. So it takes them a little while to get the slapstick elements, but they want to.
I got you. You had me there. You had me confused for a minute. Like, what are you doing to coyotes? You're talking about cartoons. Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know, you're right.
And it's funny.
You're right.
And they don't, if we sit them all together, like a couple will start laughing and then it's like wildfire. And then it's great because you have intergenerational, you have grandparents and you got parents, and you have got kids. And the grandparents went to the circus, and it's just a tradition. It's got animals, it's got fire, it's got pretty girls, it's got all, you know, clowns, it's got juggling. So it is a very, and the circus is the original multimedia company. Like before the television, the radio, the film, it was the circus. So like we're kind of like the archetype that a lot of things have spun off of, and it's fun to have people come. So that is on a Saturday at 2 o'clock. And then most Friday and Saturday nights we have live bands. And we have circus elements that are added to that. So I've been working on a television show called Circus Suites that is coming soon. So we're trying, you know, the circus is alive and well because it has been here since the dawn of time.
And you're into what, 15 years of this now?
Yes, we've been in for 15 years.
When you started, did you think you'd be sitting there 15 years later still?
Yes, I mean, no, look, mayhem. I've been doing this for 30. I've been doing, I hope so. You know, I don't have a lot of other transferable job skills. Like I can run my mouth, balance things on my face. But really it's this idea of providing opportunities for people. You know, we've right. hosted artists from 45 countries to Ludlow, and it's really fun to push the political buttons of, you know, challenging my senator is Mitch McConnell, and my congressman is Thomas Massie, two very different ends of the Republican Party. But I push on them saying, hey, look, how pro-business are you guys? You know, like, is it fair that the majority of visas go to blue states? And then they're like, what do you mean? It's like, look it up. Have your people check it out. Like, most visas go to blue states. So then they're already kind of, you know, and then Nancy Pelosi's district gets the most visas of anywhere because they're all H-1B tech worker visas. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the same guest worker visa to help build a circus in Kentucky that Google gets for a programmer or Apple gets. And that is a really fun way to like bend a lot of people's minds and provide really cool opportunities for artists in other countries because we don't make circus people. We don't make circus freaks in America. The last thing you want is your kid to go away to circus school.
Right.
So it's a cool pipeline, you know, like people from Brazil, people from Argentina, people from all over. You know, I had two kids from Indonesia that we sponsored their visas. Young Muslim men came and they juggled, you know, they didn't blow anything up. Assalamu alaikum, you know, like they just made circus. And that is a fun, you know, concept to just offer. So, and that is, it's weird, but
so when you bring in performers from other countries, is it for like limited runs or, you know, those like within the parameters of the visa, are they here for like a month, 2 months?
Yes. No, yeah. It like the last visa we got, cause again, right now the pandemic's turned everything upside down. So we clawed back most of our consular staff as a country. So now it's a 2-year, 3-year wait to get a visa appointment.
Wow.
So we're kind of reverse engineering this. We're working on building Birkas Brewing Companies with partners all over the world and in Ethiopia and in Uganda and in Kenya, which is neat. But it's weird because, you know, the artists, they get ahead and we get ahead. The artist we got last was from Costa Rica. And she had gone back and forth to Europe 5 times. So we made the argument that, look, if she didn't stay in Finland and Sweden and Switzerland, she is not going to stay in America. So she got a 10-year visa where she can be working in America for 6 months at a time. And then she has to leave for 6 months. So that's a very difficult visa to get. But as an artist, that's incredible.
So how did you learn that part of what you do? Like, was it trial and error? Did you have help?
I had help. Wolfgang was a coach with Cirque du Soleil, and his partner was a head lawyer for the German Stock Exchange, and they couldn't come back and forth on any tourist visas. So he reached out to me and my old circus team, one of our many connected people, was an immigration attorney, and we got an O-1 visa for Wolfgang, which is like a specialist, like the best people in the world. Like we could prove that he was a coach with Cirque du Soleil and that he won the world championships for 8 years in a row. So we got him his visa. Fast forward to 2016, we hosted the world championships for the wheel at Mount St. Joe. And we had
for the wheel, for you the mean wheel, the circus act,
the wheel to roll around.
The big wheel.
Yeah. So we had about 500 competitors from all over the world. They flew into CVG
with their wheels,
with
right?
their wheels, yeah. You know, and they were at Mount St. Joe. And that's fun to push the economic impact because we didn't, it was not quite the choir games size. Okay. But you know what I'm saying?
But in your world, yeah, that's tremendous. How unique is your concept compared to other cities? Are you aware of anyone doing anything similar?
No. I mean, my friend in Belgium, you know, but in the United States, I mean, we are saturated with breweries. When people come to Beer Kiss, you know, like, what's your best IPA? I say, well, we have two on draft right now. You know, I'll poke all the other breweries out there because I was running my mouth. We were having School of Rock in, and the kids love it because we have the fog machines and the lights, and they're really, you know,
to perform or to watch the show. Okay.
So it was the School of Rock's finale.
Okay.
And one of the owners from Mad Tree was there, and I'm on the mic saying, you know, if your brewery's got 6 to 10 IPAs, that means you have a whole lot of money and you don't really know what you're doing, because IPAs are easy. It's hard to make a lager. We got a German lager, a Vienna lager, a Mexican lager, a Japanese lager, you know, just being stupid. But that's my gimmick. So he walks up, hi, you know, I'm with Matt Tree. We've got at least 6 to 10. I was like, and you got a lot more money than me, but just poking the bear.
Right.
But
how are you? Are you embraced by the local brewing community at large, or are you?
I don't know. I will say this. I was on a panel for brewing, and I don't know how to judge a brewing competition. You know, I don't know at all. And I was like, this one smells like, this smells like bananas, man. I love a little fruity beer. Like, that's diacetylization, blah, blah, blah. They're using all these. I was like, I mean, that's bad. So it was, I mean, I'm kind of the butt of the joke within. Yeah. But we've been around a long time, though, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, my prediction is, I think the scene has plateaued, and now it's going to be a little bit survival of the fittest. Who's got the best product? Who's got the best experience? And nobody has a circus. So,
hey, I'm delighted to try and, you know, we were trying to get across the river into Cincinnati, you know, and that is an important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, that was a buzz for a while that you guys were looking for a location here. But ahead of recording, you told me that the building you had eyes on
was condemned, but it's a beautiful building. I mean, it was the old Spatz Foods grocery store. Like, I could be so full of myself. I'm like,
in Main Street.
Main 607 Street, yeah. Main Street. You know, I said, the streetcar ends there. People will go to Rheingeist and they'll come down. It was going to be 6 floors, and each floor is going to be different circus stuff, you know, just like P.T. Barnum's kind of American Museum, you know, like, which is weird. But then there was the village formerly known as Amelia reached out. So when the city dissolved, they had this old mayor's court and a police building and a big field. So they were trying to recruit us to open one out
in Amelia.
In the village formerly known as Amelia.
Right, yeah.
And that was interesting, but that was a weird dance. My commercial broker and I, we went out and talked, and we were trying. It was weird. So we are super excited, because if we could cross the river, then I could make the case to get the distribution trucks and self-distribute to a bunch of places. Like our Ohio distributor, they didn't make the pandemic, but we threw a great circus at Arnold's. You know, Chris and Rhonda at Arnold's have been long friends of ours. And it was hard to pull a circus off in that teeny
small
little
space,
garden,
yeah.
But we did it. And it was a whole lot of fun. So, you know, Ohio, we are hungry. We are excited. We have a weird concept, but some people just will not cross that river. You know,
that's true. It might as well be the Great Wall of the Tri-State in many terms.
It is weird.
So you do, though, have plans to create an event center.
Yeah, we're working on we bought a giant building.
You got the building.
12,000 square feet. I got it listed on the National Historic Registry, which is a really important piece of the puzzle. So that was listed in November. At the end of this, on Monday, I have to submit all my paperwork to the Kentucky Preservation Cabinet, because they will allocate historical tax credits. And when we did the theater, there was a $5 million cap for the whole state of Kentucky, and we got a $60,000 component. Now, Kentucky has a $100 million cap, which is pretty awesome. So at the end of June, state of Kentucky will allocate historical tax credits. So we're going to use the same model. We did the theater. It took us 2016 and 2017. We raised $500,000. It's the first crowdfunded brewery registered with the Security and Exchange Commission. So now we're doing our second round. A shout out to a local fintech startup, Wonder Fund. So Marvin Dobrynica, who's one of the co-owners of Esoteric Brewing, he helped. We did a second crowdfunding campaign. We raised $250,000 there. But we're trying to raise $1 million. And the crowdfunding is weird, but I say if you don't have an asymmetrical real estate play anarchist clown in your portfolio, like how diversified are you? Right?
I mean, that's a strong pitch. So you are in the midst of your third crowdfunding campaign.
It kicked off on World Circus Day. Yes, indeed.
All right. If somebody wanted to have some skin in the game, how do they do that?
Birkus or Birkus.com. B-I-R-C-U-S.
You know, you're messing with my mind. All day I was afraid I was going to say Birkus.
Don't be
Birkus.
No, we.
And you're saying Birkus, and now I'm confused. My name is Burl.
Yes.
And people think it's Beryl, and they're not sure. Right. And they got it straight in their mind. They hear someone else say it wrong, and then they start saying it wrong. I don't correct them anymore. I'm just happy they know who I am.
I feel that $250 is the minimum investment.
All right.
And really, we have over 300 investors now. And it is, I'm really trying to phrase it up too, as like joy as currency, you know,
okay.
Because Lado has thrown me challenges. That's why we are a crowdfunded brewery. You know, I keep hitting obstacles, but just like when a flood comes, the show must go on. So this is a mentality. Resilience, disruption are two concepts that you read all about in the business world. And that's what we're trying to do in the brewing world, disrupt the space. And in Lado, you know, really develop a unique space.
Now, how often do you actually perform?
I love
it. At all.
Saturday at 2:00.
You're always performing.
I'm actually this Saturday, I'm taking off because it's one of my former students. It's his kid's first birthday. So this guy is named Emmanuel Tawaya. He came here from Ghana and could barely speak English. He moved here to help us start Circus Mojo, and he helped us with Birkus Brewing Company. I'm so proud of him. He's from Ghana. Now he's an American citizen. He owns a 2-bedroom condo in Covington. He's in the National Guard, works for FedEx. So I'm taking this Saturday off to hang out with a former student and meet his son. But every Saturday at 2, most weekends I'm there walking on a keg, bouncing a keg on my chin or breathing some fire, you know, being silly. But, you know, the idea is the circus, you know, it juggling. One more thing I'd love to share with you, because I got a bad groan, so I want to share this with a wider audience.
Okay.
All right. So World Circus Day, and I had three kids from Ludlow who were juggling, and then two very talented young women who started with us and apprentices. They're adults. So they're juggling. At the end of the act, I say, you know, 6,000 years ago, only women were allowed to juggle. We know this because the hieroglyphics, there's female jugglers. There are no male jugglers. And so women in Africa were the first jugglers that we know of on Earth. So I said, you know, juggling is older than Jesus. And oh, it was still like got a bad, whoa. I said, well, don't worry. The circus is not as well funded. The church is definitely better funded than the circus. So it was wrong. But this is why we have a space where we can talk religion. We can talk politics. The circus is for everybody. And that is the brand at Birkus Brewing Company. One for all is our motto. And Burl, thank you for this opportunity.
Paul, we're really glad you're here. I can't wait to check it out. I've been back in Cincinnati almost 6 years now. And my wife and I keep saying, when are we going to go to Birkus? And I'm like, Birkus? And she's like, are you sure? But now I can say, no, it's Birkus. Thanks for the time. Wish you well. And if anybody has any desire to learn about becoming a circus performer, you offer that as well.
We offer apprenticeships. Yes, absolutely. I mean, it is tough. My first questions, though, are like, who pays your cell phone bill? Because if mom and dad are paying your bill, then it's probably not going to work out. You know? Because like, the circus is tough. You know, it's like,
right.
How are you with the mop? Do you feel good? Are you good at mopping floors? Because that's the real circus world. Like none of my friends, it's a Ringling Brothers mafia. You know, no one's going to book somebody who's a prima donna, who can't juggle, you know, who won't pick up a mop, who is relying on somebody else. So it's a weird model, but the show must go on.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you, Burl.
All right, we are going to let Burl scoot out of here. You know he's the editor of the papers. There's a lot of things going on. So we're going to let him scoot out. Sydney and I big weekend coming up, although I'm not running in it.
Me neither. Absolutely not.
The Flying Pig Marathon is coming. But you know what the big news about the Flying Pig Marathon is whether you do it or not, because you can go and be a spectator and enjoy all of the amenities that kind of come with that weekend. There's so much vibrant energy. Absolutely love that weekend. Is that the Flying Pig Marathon was named the best marathon in the country, according to USA Today's 10 Best Reader Choice Awards. And you guys, we didn't have anything to do with that, even though we're part of the USA Today network and everything. It really is just a national vote. And I've run the half marathon, so I've never run the full Flying Pig. And it's just, it is such a beautiful run through the city. And it's hilly, which is a lot of runners find it's super challenging, but people, you know, relish the challenge of it. But you're kind of going through the rolling hills and Eden Park. And so I see why it was named one of the best, because there's a lot to see.
There is a lot to see.
And it makes running go faster. At least I think that.
Totally. I was kind of questioning the ranking because I was like, this city is crazy hilly. But I guess that makes sense.
Runners, they're a special breed, Sydney. Even though I've run from time to time, I wouldn't count myself as that. I like it for the quiet time that it is. But it is, to run around here is not an easy task.
Definitely not. But congrats to everyone who's trying to make it out and is going to run.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.